There's a lot of darkness in the world. You hear like news stories every day of evil things happening, and selfishness and fear that destroys. And it could be guns or rocks or anything that we would use to create new ways to sin. But sometimes I think we need some stories of hope, you know. You guys know Genevieve? It wasn't too long ago she wheeled in here in a wheelchair. And she was having some paralysis. Well, I just got a report that she passed her physical. A lot of you prayed for her and went around her. Yeah. So she can do cheerleading this year, which is just awesome, man. That's like God heals still. That's not just like history in the Bible. Yeah, guys. PJ and Kennedy are getting married. That's awesome. Engaged. So our God is so good in spite of all this darkness. Like, we need to grab on to that little hope. That's why you came today, because we've got to remind one another that Jesus is still on the throne. He is still good. He is still powerful. And no matter how much darkness tries to overtake the world, it will not win. It will not have victory. And we got to get together and, like, proclaim that and believe it and stick to it. And when we doubt it, remind each other. And when it doesn't feel like it's true, we can sit in that feeling, but not for too long. We have to know who our God is. Lord, I just pray that you would minister to us through your word, and specifically this letter to the Romans. And Lord, I pray that you would apply it in our lives, through our hearts, that you would speak to us, guide us. Thank you for all these good things that you're doing. Thank you for giving us this line of hope in all the darkness, a light that shines out of the darkness. Lord, lead us, as the song says, in your love to those around us. You are awesome, God. You are loving. You are perfect. You have a perfect plan. Even when I don't get it, even when I don't see it, I just choose to believe. And be still and know that you are God. Help me be still. Speak to us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, grab your Bibles. We're going through the book of Romans. It's a journey, so we're in Romans 6, 15, verses 15 through 23. Okay, I'm going to read through just the scripture we're going to cover today, and then we'll do it this way today, and then I'll go back and hit that, okay? Verse 15 begins like this. What then? Are we to sin because we're not under law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, who were once slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of the teaching to which you were committed. Verse 18. And having been set free from sin, having become slaves of righteousness, I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you were once presented your members as slaves to impurity and lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness, leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard of righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death, but now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God. The fruit you get leads to sanctification and in its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hey, so context, guys, we're picking up in the middle of a letter. And I know every week that I say that, but it's really true. We have to keep that in mind. This would have been read, not in pieces, but all together to put that story out there. But we've been going through Romans, and Paul's been, you know, first of all, sort of making a case that we need a Savior, right? That we've all sinned, we've all fallen short of what God had planned for us, his best and highest purposes for our lives. And because of that, like, death has come in, destruction, all these really negative things. So we're going through that. Well, He's letting us know because part of his audience, you understand, these are believers that are gathering together, and some of them come from a background of all sorts of different types of idol worship. Maybe they didn't even have some kind of worship, only culturally they were part of festivals, and they might have had idols in their home. But another group of the people, you understand, were the Jews that were scattered amongst all the nations, and so they had kind of this tradition, this law, this legalism, and they believed that this law was protecting them. It kept them from lawlessness. And so he's overcoming all these pagan beliefs and this do whatever you feel like doing and go with your gut, and he's trying to overcome all this legalism. So now if I present this to you today, I think first of all it's important to say he's writing to people who believe. So if you're here and you're a little bit on the fence about this whole God and Jesus thing, I'm so glad you're here. I really am so glad you're here. I think you can look at this as I'm talking about it as what we're inviting you into, what we believe is true for those who have faith and who Jesus is their Savior. Does that make sense? And so this is what, now in one way, this is what you're signing up for, okay? There's the difficulty and the blessing. Now, for those of you who've been in your walk for a long time, I think it's such, this might not be new. As a matter of fact, I'm sure some point in time you had Romans 6:23 as a memory verse, right? Might have been on your wall, you got a sticker for it, or a new Bible, or an ice cream party or something. But I think there's so much more. And so that was my prayer is, Lord, pull out what you want to teach us today. Pull out what you want us to apply to our lives. So let me start with this, verse 15. What then? Are we to sin because we're not under law, but under grace? By no means. Well, the by no means here, it's like, no way. Like, no way that's what it means. So the problem is this. Could you imagine it, though? Like, even the legalism of our churches today, it's hard to come against that sometimes. Have you ever tried to come against legalism? Have you ever tried to, we could do, like, you don't have to wear a tie that church, when someone tried to come against that, right? Oh, you could have drums in the worship service. How did that go for the first guy or girl that tried to come up with that? Right? I'm wearing shorts, and some people probably won't come back. It'll be shorts? The pastor is wearing shorts. Yeah, guess what? It wasn't about me earning God's love. He gave it to me anyway. So if I'm wearing shorts or pants, if I'm following him, that's more important. But this is the legalism we come against. And so you can imagine the naysayers coming against Paul saying, dude, what are you saying? No law? No law? No rules? Like, what I do? Like, God's grace, this is a free gift. Like, salvation is a free gift. So it's not about what I do. There's no laws. What's going to happen? Lawlessness is going to happen, Paul. This is crazy, man. What kind of garbage are you saying? So he has to refute that by saying, okay, what then? Are we to sin because we're not under the law but under grace? By no means. And the verse right before that said this, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What does it mean to be under something? What's that? So kind of like covered by it could be one meaning. Yeah, what are some meanings of being under it? No, that's fine. I know it's weird, right? I'm asking, the pastor isn't just doing all the talking. I want you guys to do that. What was that? Influenced? Subject to? Submitting to? There seems to be like a positional thing here, like above and under, right? And so those things that are under positionally in any organization have to follow what the thing above it says. So it's like sin is basically not going to control you and be your boss anymore because you are not a subordinate. You are not under this law, but under grace. What's grace? What's that? God's free gift to us. God's free gift to us for salvation. Yeah, grace is such a big and powerful word. If we could, I think we'd be knocked off of our feet if we could get the full weight of what that is, because it's not only that unmerited favor by definition, but it's also God's power and his presence and his forgiveness. and his protection and his presence, all these things, see, it gets confusing because we want to do the right thing. And we will talk about doing the right thing, but we don't do the right thing until we take in his love and we receive it. But it's so hard to receive sometimes. And so even these people at the time, no difference than us, say, okay, that's great about the free gift, but what do I got to do to get it? We live in a culture, you can get this for free. It's only $59.99 shipping. Okay, that's not free, right? So we're waiting for the fine print with Jesus. Yeah, you get it for free, but only if you do A, B, and C, and D. That's not the deal here. So this is hard. Honestly, it's hard for them to grab onto and hold onto and understand and stay in that thought. We might take that for a moment, like Sunday morning, someone might talk about that, but by Sunday night, we've lost that altogether. We've lost that, wow, I'm no longer under the law, and it's not about what I do, but what I'm under is God's grace. And if that's true, what do you think would be your appropriate reaction to this great news that you're under God's grace and not under the law? How would you feel? What would you do? What do you guys think? How would you act if you believe that was true? So you got an answer? No? What do you think? What do you think? God's grace. If it's a free gift, you don't have to earn it. I mean, what would be your response to that? How are you going to react and feel? What do you think? Overwhelmed. That's a great answer. Like overwhelmed, like in awe. Like, wow, really? Because almost every other relationship you guys have is conditional. I mean, we try to get to unconditional love in marriage and parenthood. Parenthood's about as close as it gets, but we still get frustrated, and we have a lot less patience than God for the people we love, right? But here's one of the problems. If sin has no dominion over me, as it says, then why is sin still a problem or temptation for me? Okay, let me say this. That's great. I read it, but in order for it to feel true, I need to answer this question. You see, because if sin is not, it doesn't have control over me, is what the scripture is saying. It doesn't own me anymore, right? I'm not a slave to it. How come me and the other people around me who believe to be Christians are still struggling with this temptation or problems of sin, like addiction to certain things or strongholds? Why is it that we're struggling in that way? We don't believe God? Yeah. We don't believe God? That is a great answer. It's hard to stay in that because the reality of what you and I experience is, wow, I'm still struggling. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a great point. We said is most people have a hard time believing in God because we don't see him, and it's hard to believe in the things that you don't see, right? So Will's telling you, or some other pastor, sin has no dominion over you. Yeah, freedom, we're dancing around, and then you go home today and sin's waiting for you. And maybe that's not the reality in your world, just the people I'm talking to, but for us, it is that way. And so it's hard to stay in believing this is true, okay? So I think we come to agreement. There's some kind of a problem here. Well, here's some truth. We were set free from the slavery of sin. We were set free from the slavery of sin, the dominion of sin. Something happened, and guys, I don't even think I can articulate it and understand it in human terms because something happened spiritually too. At this point in time, what Jesus won for us was freedom. He did. He won freedom where sin is not running rampant in such a way that it can control you and own you if you're his. If you don't believe in him, you haven't come to a faith and a relationship with him, you're still subject to this. Ultimately, sin will be your slave master, and the only way out is dying. When you're a slave, the way you get out is you die. You're still a slave to sin. Everything the world tells you to do, everything you try to achieve and you make will come up short. It will own you. It will be your master until you die. Yeah. Temptation what? I'm sorry. The temptation for sin is constant. Well, because here's what's happening. So you were set free, but with that freedom came the freedom to choose to sin. What? I know, right? That's what we're seeing, is now that you've been made free, right? It's like if you won the lottery, everyone would come to your house and try to sell you something, right? You've become free, so everyone who wants to present some new form of slavery for you, a new type of sin, is coming knocking at your door. Do you see that? Because at the beginning of time, God made for himself a family in heaven, the heavenly host, and then he made man in his own image, and there was some serious jealousy. And some of those dudes were not too happy about that. They did everything they could, including Satan, to destroy men. And yet we have this grace, which has got to drive them crazy. And so you see this, they're constantly making war. So it's true what you say, Chris. Even though you've been made free from the dominion of sin, the temptation is still there because it wants you to choose it as your master. Sin can still be your master even if you aren't a slave to it. See, if we're to be made truly free, we have to have the freedom to choose other than what God wants for us. Is your head hurting? I know it kind of hurts, right? Maybe just mine. See, that freedom allows us to choose who or what we'll obey, who or what we will serve. I like the way my wife Brandy was sharing with some people when we were meeting with them. She said, do you ever think about your choices as really an act of like taking someone's hand, you know? It's like I'm offering you, let's do this. And you're like, okay. And then I take you with me and we go to do this. Whose hand are you taking when you make that choice? I thought that was a powerful picture that God gave her. See, we may choose to sin. I love the picture too of like a prison cell, that the door's been unlocked and opened. And it takes you a while, first of all, to even realize the door's open. You're so used to your imprisonment, your back's like turned to it, you hate the prison you're in, and then you realize, whoa, the door's open, right? And so you kind of walk out that door, and the door remains open for you to go back in. And actually, many of us really are going back into that prison cell to sleep every night because I got my picture up there, Will, of my kids. That bed I'm really used to, it's got a certain lump that's really painful, but now that my back is so jacked up, I kind of need that lump to sleep well. You know, there's like a machine in the background running, and it's a good hummer, you know, humming that helps me sleep. And this is what we're doing, not because we're imprisoned there, but because we choose to lock ourselves up in there. But the door's open every day, all the time. Let's keep that idea going. Verse 16, do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? So who's that obedience to? This obedience is talking about who's that to? Just Bob, some random guy, do what he tells you? Okay, everyone's asleep now. Okay, so who do we have to be obedient to get to life? Yes. Yes, you guys got it. That's good. So do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? Here's a great principle that you need to understand that's presented right here. You are the slaves of the one whom you obey. Yeah. It's really true. If you've ever been kind of addicted or hooked or in like a pattern, like every day you need that. Like every day your choices and stuff are about when can I get to the thing that I need. It becomes like the master and the controller of your life. Like some of us, it's control, right? We've got to have that feeling of control. And if we don't feel in control, then we get anxiety, right? So it's constantly feeding that need for control. Maybe it's the anxiety that's controlling us. And we've got to do whatever we can to make the anxiety go away. You know, if it's alcohol, it's like, okay, what do I need to do today so that I can drink that? Smoking, sex is another thing. It's a weird thing, guys. Once you get married, you'll realize, don't get this active, because once you do, you don't want to stop this. So your sexual behavior becomes like addictive, and every day it becomes your master, and everything else is lorded by this thing that you want. Your finances, if your finances become the thing that you obey, if the world's systems of achieving and being a success is what you obey, it is your master. You're taking its hand. So with that truth comes this lie, that you can agree with and follow something without connecting yourself to it. Get that? Here's the lie. I can agree with or follow something without connecting myself to it. The reality is you are taking its hand. I'm a Christian on Sunday, but the rest of the days I go with what the world tells me to do. See, what you obey, you serve. Okay, well, now we're getting way off. It's not exciting for me. Where's the grace talk? Let's get back to the grace talk and the good things that come from God. Well, please understand, and actually, I get a little heartburn sharing this, because now it's starting to sound like this works thing, like do the right things, right? Like do the right things, don't do the wrong things. This is probably one of my biggest challenges, I think, in praying for and leading a church is this. Some of us are really stuck on that, like works. Okay, let's do all these good things, right? Let's just say that's us. Yeah, do the good things, right? You guys are here. You're always at church, right? You always, like, give money. You volunteer. Even the signature line on your emails is bless you. Right, okay? You guys are doing it. You're doing it. You got a small group, a devotional that'll yell at you if you don't do it every morning at 6:30 a.m. I'm doing it. I'm doing the things, okay? Great. And then over here, they're like, can we just talk about grace? You know, can we just talk about grace? And can we, you know, I don't want to give up these things that God's asking me to give up. And so I just want to say it's just Satan messing with me, but good thing for God's grace, because I don't want to ever make any changes. It's so hard and painful to give up these things that have become dear to me. And then the reality is God's calling us to the middle, saying it is true. God's grace. It's all about God's grace. It's not anything that you can do. It's true, guys. It's about God's grace. Don't wear yourself out trying to do these things. But because God loves you, from that love comes this safety and this freedom that you guys got to come this way too. There's some things that he wants you to do, because whatever you obey becomes your master. And so if you think you can serve two masters, your sin that you want to hold on to and God, you just can't. Do you see that? The difficulty there? That we're all called to walk out? And the reality is we need everyone to come in the center and say, wow, man, I'm just blown away by God's grace. But I'm so careful to know this truth that whatever I obey, I become a servant to. And doing the right things isn't going to make God like happy and sad with you. It's going to be who you obey. And guys, doing the wrong things and thinking you're still following the master is not possible. How come I know you can't have two masters? I'm glad you asked, Emily. Jesus said this. Check a couple, there are a couple in the Gospels. This one's Luke 16. It says, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. I've seen this at play in kind of sin circles with people who believe. It's like the guilt and the shame. They hate their sin. It's just like, ugh. But then in the moment when they want their sin, it's like they're mad at God and they run from him. They're never at one time so happy. And if you've been in this, I've been in this, are you ever just like, yeah, God and sin, this is just great. I love both of you guys right now. Right? We're so good. That's not what happens. Like when you're done with the sin, you hate yourself, you hate the sin, your guilt, your shame. I can see it in you when you're walking around. And then the next minute when you're in the middle of that sin, it's like God is not here. I don't want you to be in this. Don't come near. Just go away. As a matter of fact, I think after I do the sin, I probably need 24 hours of like decompression before I can even pray to you. Like you can, what Jesus said was true. I've seen it firsthand. I've felt it firsthand. You can't serve these two masters. You'll hate one, love one, hate the other, be devoted to one, despise to the other. And I would add, I think you'll flip-flop in moments of which one you do love and which one you hate. There's some smiles, so I know that that's some truth. This is good news. Okay, we're on the same page together. Verse 17, then Paul goes on to write, but thanks be to God. Here's his encouragement, okay? Thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. So I think this talks about what you guys were saying over here, how it's hard to believe. He wants to tell you, no, believe it. Believe it. Thanks be to God that he set you free from the slavery to sin. And he's done that, and he's made your heart obedient to the teachings and the good news that you've been given, right? And no longer are you a slave to that sin, but now you're a slave to righteousness. I mean, that's a sermon in itself, but there's kind of a replacement that's going to happen here. Like it or not, man, we are made to worship and follow. That's why they call us sheep, right? It's not, we're not cats, right? Cats like, I ain't got no time for that. But sheep are like, yeah, sure, wherever you go. We could do some social experiments. I have, actually. My wife, we have, huh, Brandy? And it works. Like, if you do something, people will follow you if you're in a place of influence. So I say that in humility because I'm really no different. And there's two camps. Some of you guys love what other people do, and you think that's a great idea, and you want to do the same thing. And the rest of you, rebels, little rebels, are like, if they like it, I hate it. I don't even care if I would really like it. I just hate it because everyone else likes it, right? And that's cool. That's just the reality of what's going on. But what he's saying here is if you're not going to be a slave to that sin, become a slave to that righteousness because you're going to follow and obey something. Right? Like some guy said, hey, a man bun, that sounds like a great idea. And a bunch of people said, yeah, let's keep doing that, right? And the other guys are like, that's a bad idea. And this is what happens. These ideas come and we follow. So what will you follow? What will you obey? What will you choose? Verse 19. Then Paul says, I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. So my soccer team would say it like this. Get wrecked, okay? They say, get wrecked, guys, because you're a bunch of idiots and I can't even speak spiritual truth to you, so I'm going to put it in really human terms because you just don't get it. Get wrecked. Basically, what I think's helpful about that is I feel like I'm talking to you about some tangible decision-making, right? It feels very unspiritual, right? Some of you are like, I love this because don't get too spiritual on me. And others of you are like, oh, the same sermon for 300 years. It is because it's still true, okay? But something spiritual is happening here. And that's where, if you could see what was going on spiritually, I think you would see the broken chains that were there, that used to be there with your sin that isn't anymore. And I think you would see those who oppose you trying to bring messages that you're still stuck in that sin, so that you won't believe what God said and that you'll go back and submit yourself willfully to servanthood of this sin. Does that make sense? You and I, what we're experiencing, how come even though I'm free from sin, it seems to be everywhere around me? Well, one day the sin will be gone, but that's we're not there yet. We're not there yet. Jesus did his finished work through the cross, burial, and resurrection. But the end of days is not completed yet. Satan and his minions have not been destroyed And so we still suffer. We're still under temptation. We're still under attack, even though we're free. And so he's like, what I'm telling you is human terms. If you couldn't see what it is God has shown me, which makes sense, right? Because I feel like I can maybe get a glimpse of that, but I can't fully understand. And then he says this, for just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, now you present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. So presenting your members as slaves to righteousness. What will this type of saying usually lends itself, the connotation for us, in sexuality, right? Because it's used in that context a lot. But the truth is, the word that we're translating members could be any part of your body or being or personality. So what it's saying is like, just as one time before you were set free from sin, you did things with your body, your personality. You know, for me, I worked in like the business world, right? And so I would use my ability to get in front of people and talk with them and try to encourage them to go where I wanted them to go. Maybe you call it manipulation, right? That's the flesh way of doing it. And now I'm learning to do it for the kingdom of God and what we call exhortation. Like, let's go together to a good place. Not for my selfish gain, but for the good of the kingdom of God and the good of you. And so what I've done is I've taken what used to be used for selfish gain, and now I've presented it to God. So this idea of, hey, do you want to walk with Christ? If you want to follow Jesus instead of sin, if you want to take Jesus's hand, here's what you're going to have to begin to do. The things you're doing in your life that you've presented, what you've offered to sin, maybe it's your eyes, your mouth, your finances, your time, your marriage, your sexuality, your body, right? These things that we've used to do evil, we can now use for good and righteousness. Does that make sense? Verse 20, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. So what he's saying is, those things you used to do, right? I mean, some of us have stories about before I came to Christ, or, you know, I grew up in the church and I ran from God and I was doing these things, right? This is what happened. So what Paul is saying, that's great that you have those stories, but if you look back, what was the result? What was the fruit of that? And he's like, I'll tell you what it is. It was death. It was death. Verse 22, but now that you've been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and at its end, eternal life. I know, guys, this is a lot. There's a lot in this. So bear with me, okay? Just shake it off real quick, but bear with me. I want you to hear this. Following sin leads to death. Following sin leads to death. I'll say it a third time over here. Following sin leads to death. I know it's confusing because it's like, well, don't I get an eternal life? Yeah. Jesus, if you have that faith in him, if you've been saved by him, what he saved you from is spiritual eternal death. Okay? You've been saved from spiritual eternal death. You get that? You've been saved from spiritual eternal death. But there's aspects of your life that are either alive or dead. And if you're imposing sin, if you're taking sin's hand and walking that way, what you'll have is death inside your life. If you go God's way, you'll have life inside your life. You guys catch that? There's death inside your life. What does death inside your life look like? Anyone can think of an example? What's that? The dark? Okay. So it physically looks like the dark. Other examples? Yeah, Josh. Hopelessness, despair. Right. What's that? Physical illness. Yeah, will you say something? Bitterness, right? Yeah, anyone been through divorce? That's a death to a marriage. Like, you know, relationships that have ended, maybe your kids and you don't talk right now, there's been a death in that relationship. Bankruptcy, there's a financial death inside life that's happened. And I'm not saying every one of these things is a result of sin, so don't feel judged in that way. What I'm telling you is this. When it comes back to what we're saying, who you obey, you follow. Who you obey is your master. Who you obey is who you serve. If what you want to do is serve sin, what Paul is saying, even though Jesus came, even in light of all of that, if you continue to follow sin as a believer and you make that choice, you'll see death inside your life. God has things to say about how you do a marriage. If you go outside of those, right, those bounds of marriage, you could have death to that relationship. And it happens with Christian people. You know, parents who abuse their children at some point in time, right? How is that relationship going to look, right? Communication breakdown. Try to be a workaholic and not balance time with your kids. How will that work out when you get older? Right? If you do certain things that scientifically prove to impact your health negatively, if you're on the Whopper diet every day for 3 meals, see what happens to your physicality. My friends, see, I was the heaviest one of my friends, not the fastest, but they started smoking in high school. By the time we were 23, I could outrun them. They were having physical death to their lungs because they were choosing a way in which God wouldn't honor. Does that mean they go to hell? No, that's not what I'm talking about. The principle remains, your choices matter because you're choosing who you will serve. And then he goes on to sort of put the exclamation on that, like, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's grace, right? God's grace. I mean, we could just talk about that all day. If we don't go back to that, we're just going to get stuck on the doing thing. And I don't want you guys to get stuck on the doing thing. So back to God's grace. See, Jesus, he came for you. It's not about what you did or do, or even here. It's not about something I can manipulate for you to have a spiritual experience. If God is going to speak to you, he has to do it. He has to do it, right? Like whether I make an announcement or not, or we do 3 or 4 songs, it's really up to him. Like he is the God and the master of everything, guys, and we're subject to that. But it's so good because his grace says that he loves us, he's with us if we're his. His grace says, like, maybe the rest of the world is trying to get you to earn its approval. But I loved you while you were still against me. That's awesome, right? Okay. But now in light of that fact that he loves us, then we can go to other truths, that this truth that following sin leads to death. Following Jesus leads to life. And honestly, I think if we could get more of how good God's grace is, it would be so much easier to follow him, don't you think? But the problem is there's this accusation and this experience to say, I'm still suffering even though I'm doing things God's way. Well, just because you're doing things God's way, just because of God's grace, doesn't mean that suffering won't happen, right? Jesus talked about that. He goes, man, they hated me. When I came, they hated. You see how they treat me. If you want to follow me, expect that it's not always going to be easy. Even as strong as words is, they'll hate you. The world is trying to tell you what life is supposed to look like. It has its hand out and it says, come this way. Let me show you how to live. It really does. And it's hard because it looks appealing. It looks appealing, and sometimes your reality doesn't feel quite as appealing as what it presents. But if you take its hand, it's going to lead you where it wants you to go. Some of you look at me and say, wow, he's old, or some of you say he's young, right? Because that's a relative term depending on our age difference. But I can tell you at this point in time, I can see the fruit of people's lives that I've known over time. And you see this at play. You see which hand they've taken and who they've followed. And you've seen where they've made huge turns and then they dropped the hand they used to hold and grabbed a new hand. And so I don't want to just go through Romans again just for that. And I don't want to please you by making it short and easy to chew on. I have to give this to you because, yes, God's grace. Yes, God's goodness. Man, and if anything, what I want this to be about is us loving one another. That Lord, send me in your love to those around me. And Lord, I want to love you with all my heart, all my body, all my mind, all my soul, everything I have. And I want to love my neighbor as I love myself. And it's such an important three-part system. But the way that you can love yourself and your neighbor and God is to obey him. Obey him. Take his hand. And maybe you're doing a great job at this, and then, oh, praise God. Like Paul says, I thank God that you who used to be slaves to sin are now slaves to righteousness. I thank God that you're walking with the Lord. And if you've dropped his hand for a minute, grab it again. Like, walk with him. Let's watch what happens. Not to earn his love, but because he loves you, walk with him. But I think a lot of us are trying to serve two masters. We're saying, Jesus, Jesus, as we're holding the hand of something else entirely, and it's pulling us away from him. And then we drop it, and we try to go back to Jesus, and it comes back for us, and we're just exhausted. Literally, we're exhausted trying to serve two masters. And so at the end of this time, here's what I want us to really contemplate, think. I could use the word meditate, even though that sounds weird, right, in this circle, on this, these two questions. First one, who or what am I obeying? Who or what am I obeying? You could say, whose hand have I taken? Well, it doesn't have to be a person. It could be an idea, a world system, an addiction. And then the second question, okay, maybe you don't even know that. Maybe, I know, because that could be kind of confusing. Whose hand am I taking? So just to get real, one of the problems with me is I tend to be, I'm insecure. And so I can fall into the trap of people pleasing. Okay? And this sounds very vanilla. It's probably one of the vanilla or more vanilla bad parts of me, okay? So I'll offer this to you right now. But it's super destructive. It's super destructive if I just let it go. So if I take the hand of this insecurity and this people-pleasing, it could take me to who knows where, right? But I might not see that happening. I might just think, no, I just like to be nice to the people around me. Well, I think the Lord would ask me, what are your motives, right? What are your motives? So maybe the second question would even help me uncover the answer to the first one, and that's this. Do I see death happening in my life? Okay. Now, in my example again, let me give this to you. This might help. In my ability to people please, what I found out once I got married and started having kids is they paid a big price because I was so worried about everyone else. And of course, I didn't see any difference, so I just thought they were with me. Like, we're together, right? Like, we're together people pleasing the world. But they weren't pleased. So this inventory that you take, Lord, search us, know me, and show me where you need to work in my life. If I begin to see, you know, sometimes in the order of things, man, Jesus and then Brandy, right? So I can't please other people over her. I need to disappoint other people in favor of her by pure demand of God. you see how subtle that is and how that can work? Now maybe the other thing is like, I'm addicted to this and I can't make it a day without going to that. I mean, that might seem obvious. What I'm taking is the hand of that addiction or what it's offering. But other things can be more subtle. And I would say this, if we're to be family, you know what makes us family is who our Father is. And so going to God is important and the best way to do that. But maybe if you're wrestling with a couple of these things, maybe there's a brother or sister that you can talk with about this, that you can begin to work on these things so that we can really live out a life with Christ, as Paul's talking about. Let me pray for us. Lord, I ask you to speak. We're going to have a song here. It's going to be a time of reflection, a time where we can pray. There's also just a bunch of people in here if you don't want to pray alone, but Lord, I ask you to search us and know us. Lord, reveal, stir up, bring to the surface where you're working in our life in this area. And we just sit here before you, Lord, asking this question, who or what am I obeying? Who or what has become my master? Who or what is impacting my decisions? And maybe that's a little foggy, but Lord, I pray that you would speak. And then I also bring this question, do I see death happening in my life? It might show me what sin I'm following. So Jesus, I'm not going to say amen right now because I just don't want this prayer to end as they're playing and then as we're singing. I just pray that you would speak to your children, that you would unite us as a family and a fellowship of believers with our eyes on you, looking to be more like Christ.